Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you, Lord, for making an opportunity to encourage people here today, Lord, that they can make it through these days that are coming. You're there for them, and you're there with them, and you're there in them. And we thank you, Father, for doing it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to call this Ministry Before the Great Storm. First revelation I want to share is from Tony Hinton back in 2005. I had a dream where my wife and I were floating along a body of water. It appeared to be a lake, but was large like an ocean. We were each on a separate float, which was yellow, gold in color. Well, that reminds me of Noah. They were above the waters of the curse of death. The waters are also the peoples of the world. The yellow gold is the nature of Christ, which separates or sanctifies and preserves the righteous from the curse of the world. We were laying on our backs on these floats, looking up at a brilliant sun and beautiful blue sky. At this time, the water was still like glass. We were dressed in white bodysuits, similar to skin diving suits. Well, those in white are the righteous that are separated from the world, the body suits, with their face to the Son of God, S-O-N-S-U-N, in faith rather than on the world and the wicked. Well, amen. In our hands, we each had Bibles and were reading to each other, taking turns reading aloud. These were special Bibles because they were in no way affected by the weather or water. So if the water represents the curse, of course, the Bible is not affected. It's a stronghold, right? The ink did not run if they got wet, and the pages did not blow in the wind. So the special Bibles are the unleavened bread, which is not blown about with every wind of doctrine of men, right? The lake was huge. I think this is probably representing the world, right? And we floated all over this lake together, just enjoying reading and being together. And when the wind would start to blow, we would join hands. My right hand, her left. Well, she is on your right hand as Christ and his true church, the called out ones, right? Amen. We continued to read, holding the Bibles with our other hand. When the rains began, we held hands even tighter. Well, as the church should with Christ when troubles come, right? And we continued to read louder so we could be heard above the dark sky of the winds and rains. These were intense, dark rains, but they would not last long, and the sun would come out again, and the sky would be beautiful and blue again. And I thought these might be the birth pains of coming tribulations, which will grow in intensity and frequency. Every day it would seem that we would see different and new parts of this huge lake. As we came to a different part of this lake, it was a beautiful part, but there was a cove off the main body of water. And from this cove, we began to hear cries. At the same time, we both became aware of something under the surface of the water. It was bad and very foreboding. Well, the waters are the peoples, tribes, nations, and tongues, as the Bible says. God's true people will receive clear revelation of the dragon, beast, or Antichrist in the peoples of the world. Isaiah 27:1. In that day, the Lord with his hard and great and strong sword will punish Leviathan, the swift serpent, and Leviathan, the crooked serpent. And he will slay the monster, in Hebrew it's also the word dragon, that is in the sea. Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. Amen. So, conquering the devil and his demons is also conquering the flesh, right? And as we prayed, it left and headed up towards the cove where the cries were coming from. We prayed again. I said, we need to go see if we can help whoever it was that we were hearing. And my wife said, yes, but what about the thing under the water? However, even without talking, we knew that we had to agree and go, so we did. Well, many will seek to stay hidden from the cries for help, but the need to help those who are in danger of the beast will outweigh the fear of the dragon itself. Agreeing to go, we went a long way up the cove, almost losing sight of the main body of water. There were several other coves off this cove, and we could tell that there appeared to be a maze of coves. Well, the coves are the smaller bodies of people to whom you and others are sent, which will lead to other bodies. The major body on the broad road will not be saved. And at this point, a dark and rainy wind came up. It's always the dark wind, so came up out of nowhere and blew us apart. We could see each other, but had been blown apart. We began paddling as hard as we could with our free hand towards each other. Well, troubles will separate the body, but the hands here represent our own efforts to save ourselves and to keep our feeling of safety in unity, right? Well, as it was with the early disciples, you may be separated from your wife or your church, depending upon which type you're seeing here, for a time, as will happen to many, for the sake of those who need to hear God's voice from you, right? The Bibles were still in our other hands. Then the winds began blowing so hard, and the waves became so high that we lost sight of each other. Well, I believe this will happen in tribulations when the peoples are in great turmoil and rise up against the true God. Isaiah 57:20 says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, for it cannot rest, and its waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I felt my heart faint, and despair gripped my soul, as I knew it was the same for my wife. With all that was in me, I started crying out for Jesus to help us. And suddenly a voice came out of the midst of the storm and said, "Use your arm with the word as your paddle. Hurry, for worse, much worse storms never before seen lay ahead." So this separation will bring many to deep self-crucifying repentance, but the righteous will learn to live by faith in the promises of God's word rather than their own self-efforts. Many will be translated from place to place so that the body will be unified through their faith. I took the Bible and started paddling while shouting the word. Instantly, I began to move over the waves through the wind and rain. Then I made it to my wife, who was crying because she knew then that I was coming for her. It's not just the knowledge of the word, I would say, but the spoken word that will save and unify the body through tribulation. So, through much effort, we again clasped hands. All seemed to be well, even though this storm continued for a little while longer. The storm then passed, with the sun coming back out. We rolled back over on our backs, basking in the sun, and began to sing sweet songs of praise to Jesus for saving us. We rested in Him. Well, when we've entered the rest through our own wilderness tribulations by keeping our eyes on the Son of God, we are prepared to give this gift to other people in need. Then it was morning, and we again heard the cries coming from the cove. We agreed that I would go, and my wife would stay so that she could keep the main body of water in sight. I would follow the cries no further than I could hear my wife's voice, so that we would each know where each of us was as I went to locate the cries coming from the cove. Well, contrary to popular opinion, many men will go out to evangelize, and many women will teach the younger women and children in communal places of refuge, just as it was in the time of the Gospels and the Acts, and as we are commanded in the Word. History must repeat. The things that have been are the things that shall be, Ecclesiastes 1:9. Also, those men who are called to stay with the baggage, like in David's day, shared in the plunder of conquering the enemy. 1 Samuel 30:21. And David came to the 200 men who were so faint that they could not follow David, whom also they had made to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David, and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and base fellows of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that he may lead them away and depart." Then said David, "You shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given unto us, who hath preserved us and delivered the troop that came against us into our hand. And who will hearken unto you in this matter? For as his share is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his share be that tarrieth by the baggage. They shall share alike. And David made that an order to pass on down, right? As I began to make my way towards the cove, I remembered the thing under the water, and I prayed for Jesus to protect my wife. Rounding a bend in this cove, I came upon another cove, and there were all kinds of people on black floats trying to make their way towards the main body of water. Well, these in black floats are those who are called of God, but have not been sanctified in separation from the world and are therefore in danger. They were entangled in a huge, evil-looking black vine that came up out of the water. The vine had thorns on it, and at the end of the thorns were hooks. These hooks had hold of these people. I think it's religion and religious leaders. Some had been there a long time and were still appearing to be dead. Others just laid there moaning, moving only slightly. Those that had just gotten entangled were thrashing around wildly in the water, screaming for help. These were the cries that we had heard, and the people were all different colors, yellow, black, brown, and white, and young and old alike. So those who are called out of the world are entangled by the vine of their carnal life, which springs from the earth, out of which the fruit has to grow. Isaiah 27:2 says, "In that day, a vineyard of wine sing you unto it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Wrath is not in me. Would that the briars and the thorns were against me in battle." There they are, right? Some are twice dead and plucked up by the roots, and some are entangled in carnal religion and religious leaders that cater to the fleshly man. 2 Peter 2:18 says, "For uttering great swelling words of vanity, they entice in the lusts of the flesh by lasciviousness those who are just escaping from them that live in error, promising them liberty while they themselves are bondservants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he also brought into bondage. For if after they've escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is become worse with them than the first. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Well, many have done just that. They joined religions and departed from the Word. Even after that, when they read the Word, they ignored it because they had an idol. "It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire." Well, within myself I thought, if I went into this maze, I too would be hooked, and my wife would be left alone. I then heard a clear voice say, "Fear not, use your paddle to cut them free." That was, of course, the Word, right? I began to swing at the vine with my hand that had the Bible, which I had used as a paddle, which had suddenly become a razor-sharp sword. Stunned, I continue to swing the word, cutting away the vine and the hooks, thorns. The people would fall free and turn over on their back and begin to float in the cove towards the main body of water. We were weeping with joy and thanksgiving as the people were freed. Well, those who have overcome and are sent must be careful not to be defiled with the leaven of the unsanctified. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. As long as they use the sword of the spoken word against the flesh, they will be safe, and those who listen will be set free by learning to face the Son by faith, right? Then I froze as I heard my wife's voice. She was a long way off, and I told everyone to be quiet so that I could tell from what direction her voice was coming. She was calling out that the thing under the water had come back and to hurry. I knew that this thing was powerful and could pull her under if she was alone. Crying out, I asked Jesus to help her. Well, we know that there will be attempts by the beast against the camps of the saints, but faith towards God will preserve them, and using the word of God and being encouraged by the word of God will save you through everything. So, turning to those still caught up in the evil vine, I told them, hold on, help is coming. I then told those who could paddle to follow me, each following the person in front of them out of the cove towards the main body of water. Those who are committed but yet unstable will be guided to the camp of the saints, where prophets and pastors and teachers will nourish them. We began to paddle towards my wife's voice, but I could not seem to get anywhere because with so many people in the water beside me, it was creating a drag or a wake that was hampering my progress. I then remembered what Jesus had said, that a worse storm is coming, a storm that has never been. All I could think of was getting to my wife, and I asked the Lord to put a hedge of protection around her. So anyway, before a day of the Lord comes, a day of God's judgment on the wicked, God's people will be gathered into the ark of Christ. I then thought of all the people still caught up in the evil vine, and I paddled it even harder, determined not to be separated from my wife in this storm that was coming, and I was strengthened. Well, some will be gathered, but some will be destroyed in the day of the Lord's wrath. Judges 1:22 says, on down, and on some have mercy who are in doubt, and some save, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish in exceeding joy. Well, finally, catching sight of my wife while paddling towards her, I then saw on the horizon behind her a wall of very black clouds beginning to form. It was on the other side of the horizon, and it was a wall of black darkness. Which reminds me of Joel 2:1 on down. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And verse 31, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord cometh. And also Amos 5 and 20. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness, and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Father, I cried, you are not willing. The Greek word there is wishing. You are not wishing that any should perish. Stay the storm a while longer. Well, this storm will be stayed for 7 years while the saints are being purified and gathered into Zion, the tower of the flock. Matthew 24 and 29 says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. So the called that are not gathered and lose their position with Christ in the heavenlies, I believe, are identified here. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send forth his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. That's the chosen who are gathered, okay? From the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. I then woke up, and I was crying. My beard and my bed were soaked. I was sick for most of the day. Reminds me of Daniel 8 and 25 on down. It says, and through his policy he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and in their security shall he destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evenings and mornings which hath been told is true. But shut thou up the vision, for it belongeth to many days to come. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. And then I rose up and did the king's business. And I wondered at the vision, but none understood it. All right, we call this one the David's Protect the Children, CS. In a dream, I saw a big white house sitting on a very lush green hill. The house was a wood frame house, older style, with large white pillars and a porch on the front, sort of colonial style. Well, I think this represents contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, that which you heard from the beginning. As I walked into the house, there was a large room with a very long table. Lots of people were sitting at the table, and David was at the head of the table. And I remember thinking, this must be the Bible study. But then it was like everybody lived there too. I believe David here symbolizes the corporate first fruits man-child ministry of the tribulation. I was excited, and everyone was giving testimonies and praising the Lord. I also had an infant in my arms, so I was walking around with the baby. And I believe this represents having borne the fruit of Jesus. The door had an automatic slam-shut screen door on it that would slam every time someone came in or out. I believe this is to keep the flies out. Beelzebub, or Satan, is the lord of the flies, which represents his children, right? I went outside on the porch to see where my husband and son were. My husband was getting together with all the young people. In other words, the immature in Christ. And the kids to play a soccer game. The colors of a soccer ball are black and white, representing warfare between evil and good, which we all have to fight this battle, of course. There were a few kids who were complaining that they were bored, but really, they just did not want to play soccer either. But my husband convinced them to join. Playing soccer, of course, is the black and the white, right? That battle. So the mature will teach the immature to fight the good fight of the faith. As I was watching them play, I noticed that the wind picked up, and I looked up, and the sky was black. All of a sudden, the sky went from sunny and clear to blackness and roaring wind. I think this represents tribulation coming quickly, right? It became louder and louder, like many trains. I was shouting for my husband to bring the kids into the White House, but he could not hear me. It was then that I saw these mini tornadoes that were just big enough to pick up the kids and to carry them away. I was very worried about the kids, and I remember thinking that my husband would be okay, but the kids would not. Well, the immature have not yet put on their armor and come into the White House of God to escape the tribulation tornadoes to come. I was afraid for them and yelled for them to run to the White House where they would be safe. Meaning, of course, abiding in the White House of Christ is safety. But they could not hear me, and I felt desperate. I ran into the house, frantic and tears streaming down my face. David, we need you. The kids, they're in danger. The storm, the tornadoes, help. David calmly arose and came outside. The wind was raging. He began to pray. The wind was so loud, it was hard to hear everything that he said because he did not even raise his voice. I placed my hands on the pillar and bowed my head and strained to listen. And I heard David say, "In the name of Jesus, we command the storm to cease." My eyes were closed tightly, and suddenly the wind ceased, and I heard David, still in prayer, say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus." And I opened my eyes and was amazed. The sun was shining, and there was complete peace, complete calm. The green grass was glimmering in the sunshine, and I looked up and noticed that there was a force field around us. It was like a huge globe or dome. Well, I think the blood covering applied as the Passover of the curse of the destroyer is implied here. Galatians 3 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Through the force field, I could see the storm around us. The sky was black, and things were flying around. It was sort of like one of those snow globe things that you shake, and it snows inside. It was like we were completely enclosed by this powerful force field. I was impressed. Then I wondered about the kids down on the field, and I looked down the hill and noticed them coming out from under these coverings. They were kind of like tarps, but part of the grass. Well, Peter said, all flesh is as grass, 1 Peter 1:24. The children were protected by the Davids while still under the dominion of the flesh, right? Well, we all have to grow up, right? I thought, wow, that's how they were protected from the tornadoes. I was happy I could see my husband and son, and then I noticed that the kids who were complaining about being bored and did not want to play soccer were not there. Oh. So the immature will have the protection of the first fruit sons, but the sons of perdition who don't war against evil are going to fall away. This is a fulfillment of the type of Jesus' ministry, who also lives and ministers in these Davids. John 17:12 says, while I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus said he would return to again shepherd and preserve his sheep in a latter time, David ministry in the wilderness. And just for some references on this, Ezekiel 34:11-12, 23-25, Hosea 2:23-3-5, and Jeremiah 30:6-11, and 21-31. Verse 2. I could see that all of the kids had noticed the force field too, and they were all excited. I decided to run down the hill to talk to them. As I began down the hill, I looked back up at the house and noticed that a river or large stream was coming from the center of the house down the hill, and then ran parallel to the house. Well, that's the river of the water of life, the word of God flowing from the throne, the place of authority, as in Revelation 22:1-2. The man-child sons will be caught up to the throne of God, as in Revelation 12:5, which is the throne of the sons of David rule as they rule on earth. Some people think this is a carrying away to heaven, but no, the man-child is coming to the ministry in order to do the same thing Jesus did, which is to bring the saints in. 2 Chronicles 9:8. Blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighteth in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God. Because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do justice and righteousness. So God is going to spiritually restore the throne of David in heavenly places in Christ on earth. So I had to cross the stream to get to the field below. It was beautiful, clean, pure, glimmering, shining, and sparkling. The sun, that's S-U-N, but it's probably representing the S-O-N, was reflecting and shining on it, and it was breathtaking. I waded through it, and it was warm, and I saw that it was filled with gold glitter that remained on my legs and hands. Well, the trial of our faith purifies our works and walk. That's the hands and the feet, right? And is more precious than gold. Amen. We don't like the trials and the tests and the tribulations, but they're necessary to bring out of us things that don't need to be there and for us to make those choices, right? I looked back at David, who was still standing on the porch, as if to tell him, "Wow, do you see this?" I didn't have to say anything. He just smiled, and I was like a little girl in a magical land, covered in gold glitter, glowing. I ran down the hill to greet my husband and all the kids. I was so filled with joy that I pretty much flew down the hill. Then the dream ended, and it reminded me of when Jesus spoke to the wind and the sea. Amen. This dream really comforted me during Hurricane Rita, when I was lying in bed listening to the howling, raging wind and the crashing trees. I knew God had definitely had his angels round about us when I saw the trees that had fallen all around us and not one touched our buildings. Praise the Lord. The river in my dream was like the river of life. It was so pure and clean and full of gold. I thought maybe the gold was also like faith. I pray for more faith for the coming days. God bless you. Amen. And we call this one Survivalism Coming in Evil Times. GW, 2012. I had a dream where David and I were sitting and talking in what I believe represented the world. As we talked, there was complete and utter chaos going on all around us. It appeared that the whole world was turned upside down and was shaking, kind of like now, huh? Several major catastrophic events had occurred. Well, the shakings are coming now to prove what is not to be trusted in: governments, nationalism, personal strength, religion, money, people, etc. Hebrews 12 and 25, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warneth them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven." So if we don't obey God's voice, we will be shaken and judged. Verse 26. "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven." And this word, "yet once more," signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, and I would say that means man-made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. And you might even say those are not shaken, because things wasn't in the original, right? So there are people that are going to be remain standing through the tribulations, you know. They're going to remain. Verse 28. "Wherefore receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken." That's those founded on the rock of God's word, right? "Let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." Amen. So, so true. The people who were around us started to act completely insane. They were worse than animals, because animals have some sense of control. But these people were consumed by fear of the shaking that they were experiencing. It was almost like everything was falling apart all around and nothing was holding together. Well, shakings like the natural disasters, failed economy, incomes, loss of food, basic services, no health care, crime, martial law, war, terrorism, no fixes in sight, and so on, are going to cause men's hearts to fail them. Luke 21:25. And there shall be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, in perplexity for the roaring of the sea and the billows, men fainting for fear, for expectation of the things which are coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. David said, I told you they would act like this. And he said this, a hysterical young girl started to cry and grab me. I think this is talking about persecution from the immature Christianity. Or it even could actually be flesh, your flesh too, you know, because your flesh gets excited in times like this. But we need the solid rock of God's word to stand on, right? It was apparent that she had no sense of sanity left. She acted like a drowning person who would pull someone under to save herself. Well, they will fall for the beast promises a worldly fix, like a covenant with many. It was apparent to me that the girl possessed no inward thoughts. Her whole focus had become grabbing and groping with the intent to destroy everything around her. And as the unfolding happened, I began to think about relationships I had when people would lose control when the pressure was too much. But it was nothing compared to this. Everywhere I went, there was disorder. It was the basic breakdown of every fundamental element of society. And I saw people on the floor shaking due to excessive drunkenness and cliques forming that were full of evil and worldly behavior. Well, when domestic dogs lose the moral compass of a master, they revert back to the pack mentality to survive. It's us against them. Guns and crime for survivalism, right? One of the people looked like an old Popeye. I can't remember in the dream what he was doing. Well, Popeye was the worldly hero who was endowed with worldly strength to solve every problem. I could discern before ever knowing the guy that things were not right with him, but I wanted to give people the benefit of the doubt and a chance. In the end, he proved just as corrupt as everyone else. So those who are strong and righteous in the world's eyes will fail for not having the spiritual answer to their problems. Right? I thought to myself, I knew I shouldn't have been hanging out with that guy. What was I thinking? I knew he would do this. Well, we let us know not to be influenced by their ways of seeking help or solutions through fear. They will bring their leaven with them and defile the whole body. Amen. You can see people who trust in themselves, trust in their abilities, trust in their wisdom to save themselves, or men, or religious leaders, or whatever, you know. At the end of the dream, I remember tasting blood in my mouth, and it was very painful. I took my hand to wipe the blood off my mouth, and when I looked down at my hand, there were little white meat particles on it instead of blood. I think this is a warning not to bite and devour one another, as the strong in the world will do to save themselves. Galatians 5 and 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. These coming times are to separate the wheat from the tares. The wheat will not compromise their convictions and will endure the trial, trusting in the Lord and holding to His word. Matthew 13 and 40 says, on down, and therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. Some versions add things there, but things wasn't there. It's not talking about things. It's talking about people being gathered out of His kingdom. Okay? And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And he that hath ears, let him hear. So don't be bribed by your needs to break God's word. He's given all authority to you to receive your needs by His word. Philippians 4 and 19 says, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So just remember that you have authority in the word. Power is in the word to meet your every need. And we call this one, Beware Leaving the Narrow Road. John David Fagan, 2012. I rarely ever dream, but this morning I had a weird one. We were driving in what was probably a minivan of some sort. I think that might be a remnant, right? On a mountain pass. I believe this represents the narrow road. The instructions of Scripture formed by Mount Zion, our heavenly place in God, right? On the sides of the road were lots of huge python-like snakes, as big around as telephone poles. They were side by side at the edges of the rocks. I think this probably represents major deception awaits those who leave the narrow road. I remember there were questions about whether they were mating, in other words, sowing the seed of their deception into hearts, right? Or trying to get to cover from the coming winter storm. In other words, building their own kingdom in those who depart from Scripture to support them in tribulation. And probably both. Yes, I believe that's probably what it is, both. We were safe in the vehicle, abiding in Jesus, is what I believe this represents. But going outside would be dangerous. Kind of like at the Passover, right? They had to stay in the house, not go out, right? There were lots of them, and they were huge. Well, it's more dangerous than ever to leave the Word or leave the house of abiding in Christ on the Passover. This is a warning not to leave the narrow road or the serpent spirits of strong delusion and the curse will attack you. The serpent's poison is in their heads, and that is where they poison people, in their minds. That's why we have to have a mind renewed with the Word of God, right? I suspected that the meaning here is larger than just beware of false prophecy through a spirit of divination, as in Acts 16 and 16, where the Greek is actually a spirit, a python. So there you have it. It was a deceiving spirit, right? That sounded good, but no, it was wrong. It was bad. The larger warning is to not receive understanding from false spirits to corrupt the mind and your resulting walk. Later today, I thought of the python or Pythian spirit, but didn't remember what it was. I was thinking it was mega grace, churchianity, that says, do what you want. You'll be forgiven. In other words, the broad road, right? No need to repent, as well as some of the weird stuff in false revivals. Yeah. It may be that this sort of spirit is about to increase greatly, meaning false revivals, ministries, prophecies, manifestations, etc. All really pagan, demonic manifestations rather than from God. Well, amen to all of the above and more. That's why we need to stay on the narrow road. Abide in Christ, who is the Word of God, right? So inside the vehicle, we were safe, possibly meaning under God's protection. Amen. Well, I believe that very much. That's a good revelation. Thank you, Lord. Lord, give us in our mind and hearts the desire to get in your Word and renew our minds, where we'll have peace and safety in the coming storms and troubles. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to do that. Put this number one in our hearts and minds. Place it number one in our lives so that we'll be ready for these things that are coming. In the name of Jesus, amen.